Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard Vobes. This is the audio diary of my life. I'm just trying to see what day it is, actually. I think it's the... I just make sure I get that right. 7th of May. It's Thursday, the 7th of May. Am I right in thinking there's some local elections going on? Almost didn't know about this, and I really don't care. But some long while ago, actually, it's, by the way, it's 6 o'clock in the morning, which is probably explains why I'm quiet. And I'm at home, just clarify a few things, which is why you can't hear all the lovely bird song. But I'll come back to that in a minute. Some while ago, a polling card came, which is strange because I have already told several times the Attorney General that the legal fiction that they send this polling card to doesn't exist, certainly doesn't live at the address they've sent it to, and also that I'm not part of the system. Thank you very much. I've realised who I am. I've realised that I'm a spirit, the essence of life in a body, in a human body, and I am not a person, a legal fiction. And they can send the polling card to wherever the register is. We all get that copy of a register, don't we? The certified copy of a register that we call a birth certificate, which is neither a certificate, and it's not actually directed to us. It's not about us. It is a legal persona that they want you to have so that they can control you in terms of tax, for example, and give you a bank account and an NHS number and all those things. You have to have this document and be and say that you are this surnamed legal persona. Which, of course, you're not. I mean, logic tells you you're not if you actually use it. And also you realise, of course, how can a piece of paper say that that is you? How you know, it is ridiculous. But it's drummed into us at school, isn't it, when we go in and they take the register, certified copy of a register, they take the register at school, they get you to continually accept the name. That cannot possibly be you, the essence of you, because you are neither your body, you are not a label, you are the spark of life, you are a consciousness. And it drives me mad. Anyway, this polling card came and I just sent it back and I said, sorry, person your identity is not recognised. Send it back, sorry, thanks very much. Doesn't live here, doesn't and don't know who it is, etc. But I think it's this, is it this week or next week? It's usually at the beginning of May they have these things, don't they? Hang on, I've got to take a slurp of coffee. Anyway, I don't know what's going on. I don't want to be part of the system. I don't want to take part of it. I don't want to put... I can't take part of it. I mean, that's the irony. Again, another irony is that people think that they are voting because they're agreeing to be something else. They're agreeing to be a legal fiction. And then this legal fiction is entering the Monopoly board. The legal fiction, of course, is the little character. It's the little dog or the top hat or the train that you get with Monopoly. That's what it is. The legal fiction, the name, the surname that you believe that you are is just... a character. It is just the counter that you move on the board of the system of their system of life. And people think that's them. And of course, they only have to think about it, try and open their mind and realise how can it be them? Just as much as the train, the dog, the top hat. In the game of Monopoly, is them. It's not them. They move that character if they choose to. But the dog, the hat, and so forth cannot leave the game of their own choice. And yet the person who picks up that character and moves it around can at any time say, do you know what, I don't want to play this game anymore, and walk away. And people don't realise that they can do that also. But when they walk away, of course, they cannot have all the things that go with the game. They cannot go to the NHS, for example. They cannot have pensions. I mean, in theory, they cannot use the fiat currency, the monopoly money. And in theory, one shouldn't use that. However, of course, because everyone's been duped to think they're playing Monopoly, the only money outside the game is still the Monopoly money. However, that will change in time, hopefully, as people start to realise this fakery is what it is, fakery. And anyway, so people think they're the name. They go to the booths and they put whatever decision they get in. It doesn't make any difference because at the end of the day, you know, it doesn't matter who you vote for. The government always get in, don't they? And they think they're making a difference. They think they're making a change. And in some way, they are making a change. I mean, let's not completely ridicule the whole thing. They're making some form of change. It's true, but not the change that's really going to change everything. Which is the sad thing. You know. Don't know really what more to say on that. But anyway, I guess people think that it will make life different, and the real thing that would make life different is if people just left the game of Monopoly completely and worked out who they are, firstly. I mean, that's the most important thing, people to work out who they are, why they are, why are they here, what's their purpose, as it were, what is life, to sit and think about it. These are the questions as a child, you know. I mean, as a teenager, you start to sort of start questioning. I mean, even as a younger child, I think, you know, who am I? What am I? What is this? We're curious, and that curiosity is knocked out of us at a very early age. And instead of who are we, what's our purpose, what's it all about, Alfie, we are told what it's all about. And it's all about obeying the government. It's all about obeying the authority. It's all about being a good citizen. It's all about sending your children to school. It's all about going to work and handing over the time that you have here alive to give your blood, sweat and tears to a big faceless corporation. It's about not having time for yourself. It's about being distracted by world affairs. It's about being involved in issues and problems that are nothing to do with you. It's about being stressed. It's about being ill and continually taking pharmaceuticals. It's not about thriving and doing what you want to do. It's not about living freely and having an open mind. It's not about critical thinking. It's not about pursuing ideas, objects, creativity that you may find fascinating. And it's not about asking questions, because the life that we are incredibly blessed with is immediately pounced on by our parents, who have been indoctrinated and think they know what life is about. And then, of course, the teachers at the schools, the local authority, the government, the services from the government, the judiciary, the police, and so on. And then our friends, who've also been indoctrinated. And so it's very hard to see the wood for the trees, for everybody is in the monopoly game. Everybody is in it. And very few people are outside it, and it is rare that you get a chance to meet them. And if you do meet them, or you stumble across podcasts, let's say, communications from this, or books, whatever it might be, it's very difficult for people to even believe that's a possibility, because the indoctrination is so vast. And that is a big problem for where we are, because we're being blindsided all the time. Not only do we take it as read, and because every book you read is written by a named person, usually with a surname, and every fiction story you read has Mr. So-and-so and Mrs. Such-and-such and Miss So-and-so, these titles that your mum and dad never gave you. My mum and dad never called me Mr. or Master. They never called my sister Miss. Yet people will add this title to me, of which I am not entitled to, for I have not accepted anymore that I am a person who you can call a Mr. I'm not a Mr., thank you. I'm not a Mrs. either, by the way, just to clarify that bit. These are all deceptions to keep us. And we know what it's like, you know, when somebody suggests... I mean, here's a typical way of understanding that something is just so difficult to accept. Just very, very difficult to accept. We've been told, in most of us, I would say all of us, have been told in very strict, stringent terms for the last 30 years that smoking is bad for you, that smoking kills. We've been told this. And yet, a few hundred years ago, people have been smoking. Tobacco was discovered, and not just in the, whenever it was, 1700s, whenever it was, or before, was it back in 1500s when it was supposedly discovered and brought back? I mean, it was discovered by man eons ago as a herb, as a medicinal herb. And smoking is only one element of it. Of course, what we should be saying is cigarettes and the chemicals they put into cigarettes is harmful. Yes, I agree. Totally agree with that. Totally agree. You start putting poisons into things that anybody ingests. I mean, like poisons into pharmaceuticals, like snake venom into a vaccine. Put that into a vaccine and then inject that into your body and see what happens. Perhaps you might get some myocarditis and you might get turbo cancers and things like that by injecting snake venom. Why would you want to do it? You probably wouldn't want to do it unless it was disguised as a saviour and people are duped into taking it. People won't... they don't want to look at it. The cognitive dissonance, I think they call it. Same with this tobacco, that smoking is bad for you. What they say is nicotine is addictive. And because it's addictive, it is bad for you. And yet, that's not true. And there's anecdotal evidence and there's scientific evidence. I had an email the other day, actually, from one of my listeners who said, Richard, I started smoking a pipe. I had these terrible problems. I think he was suffering from angina, heart problems. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry to interrupt this. My card suddenly was full. I spent another, 20 minutes, I suppose, talking very deeply and philosophically about life, the universe and everything. And it was a very interesting, I hope it was interesting anyway, talk. But unfortunately, the card, I didn't notice on this recorder, was full, and so it wasn't recording any of it. I will, of course, talk about these elements that I was talking about in another podcast at some point, but I can't guarantee when. It's only when I started to put it onto the computer that I realised, oh, where is all of the file gone? And so there we go. Yes, just to finish that story about the chap who got in touch. Oh, hang on. Excuse me. Yes, he had heart problems with angina, but he started taking nicotine patches. And these nicotine patches cleared it all up, because the nicotine and the receptors that we have in us were what cured it up. But I went into it a lot more detail, but that was some period of time ago now. So, and I've got to get on and do things, you know. When the moment has passed, it's very difficult to recreate the spontaneity and the original ideas, but there we are. So I've just been chatting to myself for a half an hour, but I must now get on, as we are off to the land. We've been home for a few days and we're now off to the land today to go and water the plants and get on with some bits and bobs that we've got to do there. So thank you for listening. I apologise that you don't get the full podcast, but thanks to the limitation of this card that I put in, I must get a better card. That's what's happened. Until next time, goodbye.